I have a very dramatic announcement. So anyone with a weak heart should leave now.
Unreal. Revolution. Revolution. Uncensored. Revolution. Revolution. Unfiltered. Revolution. Unchanged. Revolution. Revolution. Unadulterated. Revolution. Revolution. Unbelievable. CliffCentral.com. Revolution. Revolution. Revolution.
Hello, 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 hello. This is a beautiful afternoon. My name is Debo Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz right here on Cliff Central. Yeah, no, I think Bulelani, this thing, dude, of, you know, we used to be doing a show on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Now we're on Wednesday. And I don't know whether is it my mind or is it my body struggling to catch up. It's a new desk, new studios, new everything, dude. I don't know how we're supposed to actually handle this. I mean,
I think that the one of the coolest things that came out of this, the mics are new.
The mics are new, okay.
It smells nice. It smells fresh, potpourri, new leather. There's no leather.
Yeah.
But I can smell leather somewhere. Oh, it's this expensive item here. I will not mention who it belongs to. But it's another beautiful day. You know, we're talking entrepreneurship and the opportunities out there, engaging amazing stakeholders who are in the building today.
Mm-hmm.
And that we'll be sharing with. And I'm very excited about some of the opportunities that they have and some of the projects that they've embarked on in terms of entrepreneurial development and just uplifting the economy of South Africa. They've done amazing, amazing stuff. Yeah.
So we've got opportunities today. So, I mean, what do we call this? Opportunistic Wednesday.
This is what's happening here in the studio today is synonymous to what would happen if you got a tender. I feel like an opportunity premiere right now because opportunities are in the room. But I'm excited. I mean, some of the work that Cecil has done is amazing work.
Yeah.
Some of the work that, I mean, Yokulula has done is amazing work. Some of the stakeholders in the house that, you know, our listeners will be listening to have done amazing, amazing things. And people need to really hear, because oftentimes we talk about the private sector participation,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of people don't really know the work that they're doing and they would really love to see them everywhere. But I mean, them being everywhere would mean 90% of their annual budgets and profit, which is not feasible because they still need to pay salaries and stuff. So we're celebrating corporates, we're celebrating excellence, we're speaking opportunities. I'm excited. It's a Wednesday.
No,
yeah, that's which.
You know, but I guess we'll get a hang of it. I think, I mean, you've already given up a hint and a clue of some of the guests that we have in studio. I mean, some of them, we're not seeing them for the first time. We've got guests that we have been on the show before. And at the same time, I mean, we've got newbies that we're looking forward to breaking their virginity today on this show right here on 360 Biz. I mean, we've got Mr. Evans Jones, who's the portfolio manager for Stella Credit. And we've got Miss Eve Lebertrau from Comair, who's the head of HR. Executive manager for human resource. These are some of the guests that we have in studio. But I think more than anything, let's save time and get right straight to it. I think, Bulelani, do you want to guide us in terms of on some of our guests as to who we, or should I handle?
I think we'll share this one.
Okay.
You know, I'd like to break the ice with Mr. Justice Makagula. You know, we had him in studio, and I think it's so great that he's actually here, because the last time when we had him on, he had made a promise that he's going to come back, or rather, we were going to have him back, and it's such a great privilege. I mean, we've seen the great work that Cecil has been doing through various programs. I mean, like your Step Up to a Startup and all those different kinds of programs. You know, we just really wanted to jump into what are some of the exciting programs that you guys are getting up to, you know, just to get the word out there. And I mean, how do entrepreneurs participate in some of those products?
Yeah. And I think more than when you start, maybe start by saying hi to our listeners.
Okay. Yeah. Hi to the listeners. My name is Justice Makagula. I'm the Vice President for Social Investment at Sasol. Part of the work that we do to contribute to socio-economic development in our communities is enterprise and supply development, which is really working with small businesses. And this is because the numbers are telling us that the majority of business activity in our economy is by the SMME sector, about 80% of the activity. And the majority of jobs that we have are also created by that sector. 60% actually of those jobs, and a similar number in terms of contribution to GDP. And therefore, it's just logical that if you want to grow the economy, then you need to focus in that sector. But what is really worrying is that the entrepreneurial activity, which is the people in our population who are involved in entrepreneurial work, is quite low. And this is if we compare it to some of our BRICS partners. So we decided to get involved in supporting entrepreneurial development programs for the reason that we actually want to make a contribution into growing the South African economy. So we've got programs including business incubation. We've got a facility in Sasolburg where we incubate small businesses, particularly in the manufacturing sector, because it's a labor-intensive sector and it's actually a technical sector which could help us with reducing the amount of imports into this country. And we've got a fund, a Sasol Siaka fund, through which we provide loan funding to small businesses and a lot of other exciting entrepreneurial development training programs for young people in the communities in which we operate.
Now, No, now, Mr. Justice, you know, this is a question that I also pose to some of the other people in the room. We engage with quite a lot of entrepreneurs, most of them startups and SMMEs, through the different platforms that we engage with them on. And most of them can normally complain about, you know, access to market being part of the supply chain and all that stuff. But I just want to flip the screen a little bit. In terms of your portfolio, do you cover supply chain? And if you do cover supply chain, inducting those SMMEs into supply chain, do they deliver to that level? Or what is the lacking thing you feel small businesses could actually increase in terms of the quality, the service to then match that level?
Yeah. Thanks for that question. I think it's very important because there is no point in just putting people in training programs and after that they get no opportunities. So what we have at Sasol is an enterprise development program that is integrated with our preferential procurement strategy. So we've recently put in place a set-aside strategy, which is really about identifying categories in our supply chain where we can have small businesses coming through. What we are finding is this, most of these small businesses, they tend to be traders. So they're kind of middlemen between the actual person that provides the goods and the services and us. We prefer to work directly with a small business. And when we do that, we start to find that they lack mostly in their systems. So a quality management system, because we want quality product. Yeah. So we want to understand what quality system they have in place to make sure that the product that comes out actually meets our requirements. And we very much safety conscious. So it's very important that you also have a safety system in place. And we find that most businesses don't have that. Other than the other issues of managerial, you know, skills of actually being able to run the business efficiently, those are some of the things that we find that small businesses lack. And we don't just leave them. If they don't have those systems, we then work with them through the enterprise development team.
Now, that's beautiful. And I mean, just run us through, you know, just run us through the program a bit. I mean, is it a year-long program? Is it a what's the criteria for an entrepreneur out there who's listening for getting onto such a program?
Good. So I actually like that question. So we've decided that we're not going to do programs, because programs sometimes are more about pushing the numbers. We're focusing on what we call outcomes and the impact of the activities that we do. So what we do with our supply chain people is we identify an opportunity within the supply chain where we need a small business to provide certain goods and services. And then we go out and find a small business that has some capacity to deliver that service or product, but may also need support. It may be through funding, or it may be through the systems that I've just spoken about. Then we put them into our system and we handhold them. So it's not like we have a program. So you're in this program for 12 months or for 6 months or whatever. You are with us. You are our partner. You do business with us, and we are going to be with you throughout the journey. So it's very difficult for me to say, no, we have a program. It's 12 months or 6 months, and thereafter you get an opportunity. No, it is opportunity-based from the beginning.
I mean, speaking of opportunity-based, let me bring on board Mr. Evans-Jones. Mr. Evans, do you want to start maybe quickly by saying hi to our listeners? Tell us who you and what is that you do.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me. And yeah, obviously to all the listeners out there, hopefully it's informative. I'm certainly learning a lot already about some of the other programs in the market. But essentially what I do is we offer enterprise and supplier development funds to companies who often don't have the capacity to do that themselves. So if you look at the BE legislation, and I think it's important to understand that the South African legislation, there's many examples around the world of similar legislation, because around the world, the global economy to a large extent is capitalism based. Okay. And if you end up with any sort of inequality, specifically in private sector, the stronger will get stronger in a capitalistic economy and the weaker will get weaker. So I think the BEE codes, if you look at, as I understand it, both the Malaysian and the Canadian codes were used in order to create the South African codes. So a lot of people think that South Africa is unique in developing this kind of framework to
here
assist.
Was I taking the credit thinking, you know, we've got this.
Yeah. No, it's not so much that we've got it. I think there's a concern generally from often from the private sector, that this is kind of forced on us, and South Africa is unique in this regard. And I think the reality is that around the world, these kinds of programs exist, in America as well. So what we do is, if a company would like to achieve attain their BEE scorecard, and they don't have the resources or the skill or the capacity to develop, if I listen to what Sasol's doing, it's exactly what the codes are looking to do. We do that on an outsource basis. So they invest with us, and we go find black-owned businesses. We go find suppliers for them, and we integrate those suppliers into their supply chain. And so we have over 400 companies that have already invested. And the funds you mentioned, you've got some bees that you know introducing. I presume there was new bees. But our fund is called Inyosi Enterprise and Supply Development. And Inyosi is the Nguni word for the bee, and the wild bee, right? So, and our concept essentially is that you need if this is going to work, you need everyone pulling together like a beehive, and if everyone works together and does their small part, you can actually make a tremendous result collectively. You can achieve a lot as a collective than you would as an individual. So essentially, while we don't have a single client as a single company as you have with Sasol, we have lots and lots of companies, and they've come to us and said, please, can you help us with enterprise development? Please, can you help us with supply development? Mm. And we do that on their behalf.
Yeah. I was actually going to ask that you do that as Stella Credit or as Inyosi, but you've just clarified that you do it as Inyosi. But now, Mr. Jones, do SMEs know, though, where to find this assistance in terms of helping them develop or sustain their businesses? And most importantly, do they know that there's companies like yourselves in your empowerment that exists and that is ready to assist them?
Yeah, I think I would say that the market generally is imperfect. So I'm sure that there are lots of companies that have never heard about us, or lots of entrepreneurs or people who are looking for funding. But it's an interesting issue, because in our type of fund, we currently have, let's say, 400 companies that have invested, say, 140 million with us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in that process, we've got 140 million with which we can go facilitate or help black-owned businesses. But if we could get 500 companies or 1,000 companies, our message has to have, it has a dual aspect to it. One is that we're looking for black-owned businesses who need funding, who need skills development, mm-hmm. who need access to markets.
Mm-hmm.
And the other aspect is that we're looking for businesses who need assistance with enterprise and supply development, because we need both components.
Oh.
But certainly we get contacted. I actually wrote an article which is in the newspapers today. And as a result of that, I've had a number of calls already today of people saying that one's a lady who's doing RPP project in the Northern Cape and is looking for funding in that, etc. So people do get hold of you.
So now this funding that you spoke of, is it a grant? Is it loans? What is it?
So we typically look at loans. If you look at the space we lend into, typically relatively new businesses with largely untested business model would require significant risk premium. What that means quite simply is if I were a commercial lender,
mm-hmm.
and one of these businesses came to me and said, look, I've been running for 2 or 3 years, I can't get bank funding, can you fund me?
Okay.
And I try to fund them commercially, I would probably charge them a very high interest rate, because I'd have to try and cover my potential losses. Fortunately, with this fund, because the focus of the fund is on providing our clients with a BEE scorecard, and they're not that concerned about a return. In fact, some of them are not concerned about return at all.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to fund at very, very aggressive interest rates. And we typically fund it around prime, which for businesses, most of the businesses we fund are simply incapable of obtaining funding from the banks. So if they went to a bank and tried to obtain funding,
mm-hmm.
most of them wouldn't even get loan application forms processed by the banks. Mm-hmm. If they did get them processed, they would be charged extremely high rates of interest, which may in turn cause those companies to fail. So what we try and do is actually provide them with relatively commercial funding, although it's at significantly subsidized rates. But also what that does is that it ensures that if at some point in the future, let's say 5, 10, 15, 20 years' time, the BEE legislation is amended or repealed, at least you've got companies that have been created on the back of commercial loans that can then sustain themselves. So grants, while they are fantastic to receive, they have the one risk that you can become overly dependent on those grants, and if the grant environment falls away, there's a big chance that the companies that rely heavily on grants may well fold at that stage.
Mm. And then, you know, just on that topic, I'd like to throw it at you. I've got a question I'd like to throw your way, Mr. Makakula. In terms of the funding, what is the funding criteria that you guys have? That's the first question. So I'm going to also throw the question back to you, because this is one thing I'd like to know. And in terms of the entrepreneurs that you guys have funded, have you found any of those entrepreneurs to have defected in the paybacks or the utilization of those funds?
Yeah. And maybe when you're answering that question as well, fit in the fact that the kind of SME that qualifies to be actually getting the funding, and the kind of industries maybe that you're involved in.
Yeah. So the Sasol Siaka Enterprise and Supply Development Fund basically funds SMMEs. This is small businesses. Mm. And if you look in the BEE codes, they have to be businesses that have a turnover of less than 50 million rand per annum, or even 50 million. That's the starting point, and they have to be black owned.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be involved in our supply chain, so providing certain services or goods into our business.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to have a business that is able to repay the loan, so which means the business has to be viable. So we do an analysis to make sure that the business is viable. And I think the point has just been well made now that we could actually find businesses and give them loans at commercial rates, which the banks do. But we've decided that our fund is positioned as a developmental fund. Mm-hmm. So we are very much interested in the sustainability of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And cash flow is a big issue. So we look at the interest rate that we charge these businesses. But we also look at the, call it, repayment period, because that also has an influence in terms of how the business is sustainable. So that's really the positioning of our fund. I think I've already covered the issue of criteria. So.
Yeah, if I look at it from Inyosi's perspective, Justice has made the point eloquently that obviously the first loan criteria is determined by the codes themselves. You have to have black owned. And unfortunately, the BE codes said 51%, which it actually, in my mind, should have been 50% plus one vote, but that's another issue. I'm sure the drafters had a particular reason why they put 51%. And obviously, a turnover of 50 million or less. What we typically look for is a business that's got a 3 to 5 year track record. And I think, just to make a very, very good point, in this space, it's absolutely vital that you lend responsibly. The last thing you want to do is to saddle a business with repayments that it can't actually handle, and you will actually precipitate its failure. So we launched our Enterprise Development Fund in 2012, and as I said, we've raised over in combination with our supply development about 140 million rand. We've advanced over 160 million rand, and we haven't had a single missed interest payment or capital repayment. And one of the reasons, and a lot of people just are staggered by that. And my take on this is quite simple. There are a lot of very good businesses out there, regardless of color, that struggle to access finance. And it's our role in this fund specifically to look for black businesses, but to try and take them through what we would call the desert, a period during which you've started a business with the capital that you have. Maybe you cashed in your pension fund, hocked your house, or drew down as much as you could on your house. You tapped a wealthy uncle and aunt, whatever you did to start your business. You've built it up for 2 or 3 years, and you've utilized all the capital that you have, and you've got no one to turn to. The banks are not going to fund you at that point. Mm-hmm. We want to fund you when you're in that desert. And if we've done our job correctly, we'll hold your hand through the desert. And if we've done our job properly, you will ultimately turn around and tell us that you no longer need our funding because you can get funding from the banks. And that's exactly what we want to do. Yeah. So we want to help the guys through the desert.
Mm-hmm. So I want to throw a curveball. Mm-hmm. I want to throw a curveball. I'm throwing this curveball because I already sent out the questionnaire. How much, ever since you guys started with the entrepreneurial development program, how much money have you spent developing entrepreneurs? A rough estimate.
I did anticipate that question, and I tried to figure out how to answer it.
But yeah,
basically, our fund is a 150 million rand fund, the Sasol Siaka Enterprise and Supplier Development Fund. In the last financial year, we actually disbursed about 57.2 million rand to small businesses.
They didn't meet the target.
And the average loan size was 5.7 million. Wow. So that actually tells you that our focus is really making sure that we can build businesses that are on their way to become listed in the stock exchange and all that. If you're talking the BEE codes, you're talking about QSEs, qualifying small enterprises. So that's really what we're trying to do. And on the business development side, we also spend millions there on the systems that we put into place for these small businesses. And if you want to get the numbers, our financial statements are being finalized, and the results will be announced in the next week or so. So I can talk to you about that after.
So just as a parting shot before we release you, are you finding a challenge in sourcing black-owned companies that are in the chemical space with regards to your and with regards to the incubation that you guys have at Sasol?
I wouldn't say we're finding a challenge. We're having a lot of... What really inspires me is that young people in South Africa, in the townships and all that, are catching up on this entrepreneurship bug. And they want to do things. They want to get involved in all sorts of spaces, including the technical spaces and moving away from events management and catering and all those things. So we recognize that the interest is there, but we need to add value through the incubator by just making sure that whatever they're thinking about can actually be commercialized. Yeah. So we work with them through that process. So there's a lot of interest, but there's a lot of work to do in just making sure that what people want to do can actually be commercialized and be sustainable.
So, I mean, Mr. Evans, before we actually let you go as well, I mean, does injecting funds into SMEs really ensure that they survive?
I don't think just injecting funds is going to do it. And if you look at the codes, one of the big innovations in the redrafting of the codes or the amended codes was the introduction of supply development, which effectively pulled entrepreneurs into the supply chains of companies. So I think our assessment of it is that we try and deliver three key ingredients to black-owned businesses. We try and provide them with access to funding. We try and provide them with access to markets. We've got over 400 companies who are looking to buy goods and services from them. And then we try and help them with skills development. So access to skills. I think the combination of those three things are likely to end up enhancing an already good business. And if we get that right, we'll take part or be a participant in growing a very vital aspect of the economy, and specifically one which can deliver significant job creation, which obviously is one of the big issues that bedevils the South African economy.
So for people that want to get more information, Mr. Justice, about some of the information that you've given and some of the programs that you do, when can they get hold of more information?
Yeah, so we've got an access point through our website, at Sasol website, but we also have an email address where people can send us requests. It's info.esd@sasol.com.
info.esd@sasol.com. Okay, not a problem. Evans, maybe before you give us the information, I didn't hear from in terms of the industries that you guys fund.
We fund all industries, we fund nationally as well.
Oh, okay. No, not a problem. Do you guys have a website, a portal?
Yeah, there's a website. In your CINYOSI.co.za.
I know. She was mumbling.
So I'd like to ask you something.
I didn't hear
I'm thinking
that.
Of starting a political party. What are my chances? I'm kidding. We'll call it Even and Bulelani. Thank you very much for joining us, Mr. Makakula. Thank you very much.
No,
thank
definitely. You. Give us the website again.
Inyosi.co.za.
Inyosi.co.za.
Info.esd@sasol.com.
Info. info.est@cecil.com.
info.est@cecil. It could be a song.
No, it actually is. Maybe we might.
Maybe we could get funding for that. Imagine.
I'm okay. Thank you. No, we'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mama, I made it. Happy belated. I drop the top to the Porsche and I stick out my head and scream, Mama, I made it. Mama, I made it. Mama, I made it. Happy belated. They call me the greatest. I drop the top to the Porsche and I stick out my head and scream, Mama, I made it. Mama, ever since I was a little kid, I wanted to make you proud. I know I put you through a lot of shit. I'm sorry the calling was loud, but you let me drop out of school. All of your friends used to call you a fool. Now when I go home, I pull up in the coupe and ask all my lawyer cousins what it do, what it do. How you feel? You like my car? Take the wheel, don't worry, I got it. I paid the bill, the papers is lying. I just made a million, ay. I should play you my new song with Talib. Man, that shit is sounding amazing. And I drop the top to the Porsche and I stick out my head and scream, Mama, I made it. The Porsche and I stick out my head and scream, Mama, I made it. Mama, I made it. Happy belated. They call me the greatest. I drop the top to the Porsche and I stick out my head and scream, Mama, I made it. Ish, Mama, I just read the papers. They wrote a whole lot of fake stuff. I hope that it didn't affect you. We got this far through the power of prayer. I'm finally famous. That's why they trying to break us. We broke the rules so they hate us. These motherfuckers are spinning the vapors. Sorry for swearing, Mama. I don't mean to disrespect you.
I love the fact that he says, now I'm famous, eh? It reminds me of you, Bulelani, that now you're famous. I'm sure when you go to Tembisa, that's what you get there and saying, driving in.
I'm not famous at all. I wish I was.
Is it? If ever you've just joined in, you're still listening to 360 Breeze right here on Cliff Central. And if you've just tuned in, you missed out on an interesting discussion that we had with Evans Jones. From Inyosi Empowerment and Mr. Justine from Sasol. They were talking about some of the empowerments that they're having on their companies. Part of the discussion that we have today on the show is what are corporates doing in terms of empowering of small businesses. And interesting enough, Bulelani, I actually thought last week was the end of Women's Month. You know, and
it doesn't end.
And having women, but I think the gentlemen have just paved the way. We've got beautiful two ladies in studio that I spoke of earlier that have joined us. You know, we've got Candy from Tsokosan. Candy's become part of the finish, bro. You know,
I was telling her Candy's family.
Yeah, no, to say, you know what? Welcome once more, Candy. It's always good to actually have you here. With us, always coming up with exciting stuff, eh?
Definitely.
No, definitely.
And you know, one cool and amazing thing
mm-hmm.
is that next to Candy sits an amazing lady. I met her a couple of months ago.
Okay.
We had a beautiful conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember staring into her eyes and I was like, you look so beautiful and young. How young are you? 24, 22? And she laughed, but she's just a beautiful soul. But more than anything, they've got amazing programs that they are running. I mean, and so is Tsokosan. I mean, one of them being, you know, the step up to a startup. But I mean, they've got other things that they are doing. I mean, I know that I spoke to some of the Tsokosan guys at one of the events, and they were telling me about the programs that they are running in the Diepsloot area in terms of entrepreneurial development. And so is Kulula in terms of the development in and around their area where they are in Kempton Park, which is phenomenal. And that is what we are celebrating today. So thank you. Happy Women's Month. It's not over yet.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. You know, Women's Month is never over, yeah?
Is it never over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It lasts forever.
Oh, okay. No, no, definitely. And it's a very valid and good point that you've made mention of. I think maybe let's start with you, Kendi, so that you pave the way for Eve,
okay.
Since you're part of the family. So what is it that brings you here today with us? I think maybe start by saying hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I am Kendi Tartil, Head of Corporate Affairs for Tsogo-san. And for those that don't know who Tsogo-san is, we're a listed entity on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, and we operate more than 90 hotels and 14 casino and entertainment destinations across South Africa, Africa, and further afield. The reason that I'm here today, I was invited actually by Prime Stars, who are running a phenomenal program to create a pipeline of entrepreneurial minds among our young people that we at Tsogo-san believe is the sort of the missing link in developing small, medium, and micro enterprises in South Africa specifically. If you look elsewhere and you look internationally, you'll see in particular in countries like the US, kids are sort of born with this thinking that they can do anything and the sky is the limit for them. And I'm very impressed with what Prime Stars has done to encourage our South African youth to also dream big and to realize that they can be responsible for their own futures. And so that's why we've been, as Tsogo-san, been supporting Prime Stars for a number of years now, specifically with this particular project, because it also has such a logical fit with our entrepreneur development program.
Yeah. And then, beautiful Eve. You know, what are some of the amazing, I know that you guys do amazing work with Prime Stars with regards to the different programs. And I mean, you guys go to the extent of creating accommodation for the learners that are being brought in from different provinces, and you guys fly them everywhere. And people don't know, you fly them everywhere for free. You don't charge them anything. They sit, they refresh, no hassles. You guys are doing, I mean, what are some of the, let's celebrate you guys today. What are some of the amazing work that you guys are getting up to, some of the programs that people need to know about?
Right. Well, I think, first of all, just to say hello to everybody out there. I'm Eve Liebetrau from Comair. I head up human resources and also am responsible for CSI and participate in the ED side in our organization. I think that I very much agree that the way that we have become involved in this particular participating in this particular program is through Prime Stars. As you mentioned, we are responsible for, we provide transportation to the learners as well as to people in the organization to get them around the country for the various events. And we're very proud to be able to do that because we really believe in entrepreneurship. Comair was a company that was started 70 years ago by entrepreneurs, three pilots who, when the war ended, effectively were out of work and actually started a business. So Comair has a long entrepreneurial history and has been very entrepreneurial in many other respects in terms of starting the first low-cost airline, Kalula.com, and subsequently various other business initiatives that we have become involved in, which are not really typical airline activities. So I think entrepreneurship is something that we really support. We try to encourage it in the people that we have in our organization. In fact, it's one of the pillars of success that we drive in our organization with our people. And I think that I agree very much with the situation where if your pool, your succession pool of the people entering your organization don't have that sense or that value, it becomes very difficult as an organization to continue to be successful. So we would like to be successful for the next 70 years, and that's why we would really like to be involved in as many of these kind of programs, encouraging youth to be entrepreneurial, creative, innovative, and being able to then draw those people into our organization.
And I mean, it's one thing to have beautiful programs that you guys have designed, events, initiatives that you guys come up with that is aimed at the development of people. Are you finding there is a response in terms of the small the black owned businesses or the small entrepreneurs that are out, startup, and sorry, not small, but the startup entrepreneurs and SMEs out there with regards to your programs? Are they responding?
Yeah, I think people are hungry for opportunity, and sort of South Africans have stepped into a place where they're very keen to be able to be recognized and to do things themselves, and we want to be independent and we don't want to have to rely on others, but we need to be as a society, we need to open up the framework so that it makes doing business for small business easy. And one of the things that we as big business need to do, which we're trying to do at Sogo, is to make it easy for small business to do business with big business like ourselves. So one of the recently introduced projects that we've started doing, in addition to our Sogo-san Entrepreneurs, which supports just about 200 small, medium, and micro businesses across the country, is the middle of last year. What we did is we started holding daily events or exhibitions that we call supplier showcases. And they have been extraordinarily successful. And basically what the showcase does is it gives a two-hour workshop to qualifying small enterprises who are invited to exhibit. Following the workshop, then what it does is it sort of opens up an exhibition like a mini Indaba. And then we invite audience members that comprise of other big businesses to come and evaluate those small businesses with their procurement teams, so that we actually are providing opportunities for those small businesses to become suppliers to big business, knowing that they would already have complied with what the big businesses are looking for. So we found that those are very successful. We've had 6 nationally to date. And we actually have just run our first local one this morning. A colleague of mine is running it for me at M20 Casino in Mpumalanga. It's our first one in Mpumalanga. So providing these opportunities, making it easy for small business to do business with big business, basically, is really, we're seeing that we're able to become, and our other guests from Sasol and Stella were talking about supplier development and connecting your entrepreneur development program with your supply chain and things like that. And this particular project that we've started really seems to be able to do that, because we as Sogo then become suppliers to these small businesses, and they go into one of 3 channels. They either become a promising supplier to Sogo, where they get enrolled in our development program with the intention of ultimately making them into a supplier. Alternatively, they can become a supplier immediately if they're ready. And then finally, if there's nothing that we can procure from them, we still register them with a program that we run for one of our shareholders, HCI, called the HCI Supplier Club, where they can get benefits.
Oh, wow, nice. I mean, are you guys, in terms of the different programs that you guys run or the programs that you guys sponsor, are you finding receptive entrepreneurs that are just hungry for the same opportunities that are out there?
Absolutely. I think that we've kind of focused on industries which have direct relationship to the kinds of products and services that we actually require. So we've kind of started at that particular point. So we've been involved with an air cargo project, and subsequently with a college or a school for kids who leave after a post school and are then requiring really some kind of exposure to a work readiness program, and we've been involved in actually setting that up together with individuals who are now running that school. Many of those people that have come out of that school have then had the opportunity to do learning work or workplace experience with us, and we've been very pleased with the outcome, we have employed roughly 98% of those particular individuals that were doing learnerships with us. So we are probably not as we haven't expanded our reach in terms of the projects. We've kind of focused on kind of two specific projects, but I think that really for us the most valuable one has been the school, or the training academy, which is called CDK, and where we have then been able to actually really give people an opportunity to enter the workplace. So very much the kinds of things which I think that we're hearing that businesses and CEOs don't want to kind of mention any names, but but businesses and CEOs are actually focusing on at the moment. There's a big drive for this, is to create opportunities for people to get workplace experience and then potentially to be employed. So the college obviously is something which we have invested very heavily in, partnered with the people there, provided skills, as well as being involved in helping them to acquire the ability to run the financial side of things, really to make it a successful and sustainable enterprise.
Now, in terms of the entrepreneurs that you guys engage in terms of the development, is it based on services or the industry that they're in, or is it area based in terms of the support that you offer, either for entrepreneurs or for, you know, young people that you'd be bringing in onto the different programs that you run with the college? That you'd be bringing in.
Yeah, from our side, we originally started our program. Well, the guy from Sasol Justice said that he doesn't refer to what he's doing as a program, and I'm kind of also loath to say a program, but I don't really know what else to call it.
I was trying to think.
Okay, what's another word? But he was saying that. But what we run, the enterprise and supply development, which has got a name called Sorgelson Entrepreneurs. Started actually in 2005. So it's been going for a long time, and it's gone through a series of evolutions over the last decade. And we've recently opened it up about 2 years ago. Previously, it was very concentrated on tourism because we were under the impression that if we focused on what we know, we could deliver a lot of value. Over the last 2 years, what we've discovered is that actually, you know, when it comes down to the fundamentals of business, business is business, no matter what industry you're operating in. So we actually open to small businesses in every industry. Throughout South Africa, we run a 12-month development course, and that development course provides a business coach per business enrolled, as well as a life coach, because we focus on the business as an entity that we're developing, and then we also focus on the human being or the entrepreneur that is so critical and crucial to making a business a success.
Now, before I jump back to Eve, I'd like to now ask, when you guys are running, I think I got the word initiative.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. when you guys run these initiatives and you're getting in these the business coaches and the business strategy guide, let me call them that, to assist these entrepreneurs, are they people that are internal, that are maybe staff members that are just offering mentorship, or is it a professional service that is offered?
We employ qualified, certified life coaches and business coaches, that forms part of our program. We run it as a legitimate intervention that we spend a significant amount of money on, making sure that it's very professional and well run, and that we also monitor measure our impact. And then at the end of every year, we have an annual entrepreneur conference. Our next one is coming up. Hopefully you've received an invitation to our awards dinner.
I was on the last one.
Tabor was there last year in October. And we bring everybody, all the entrepreneurs enrolled, and there's, as I said, nearly 200, to the conference, where we sort of refresh and revise everything that we've done in the year. And then we have also an Entrepreneur of the Year award. And I've currently got, we've just recently had the judging. We've got 5 finalists now for 2016. And then we have a gala dinner where we celebrate the accomplishments of these small businesses, and we award this particular award to one person.
Wow. Eve, the work that you guys do, is it targeted to a certain area, industries, or you just you guys are open to anyone?
We look, at this particular point in time, we've targeted it specifically within our industry, because we've seen that as being the most sensible thing, or the practical thing for us to do at this particular point in time. However, with the introduction of the new BEE scorecard, we are reviewing our approach and looking at how we could potentially be investing and involve industries which are not necessarily directly related to our industry, but also are and are kind of ancillary or other. I think business is business, as you were saying, Candy.
No, so, that's beautiful. Yeah. And then, I mean, in terms of the, you know, in terms of the large budgets that you guys spend on these, I'm going to throw the money curb. I love money.
That's why we're in business.
Better when it's in my account.
That's why we're in business.
But if it's too much of a sensitive topic, you could jump over it.
I mean,
but
we're a listed entity, so we're a public company, and we've recently verified our triple BEE results as well, along with the rest of corporate South Africa. And our enterprise and supplier development investment in the last financial year was 84 million rand.
Wow.
Yeah. So we don't take this lightly. But also what's important for people to understand, the listeners listening in, we are very interested in seeing small business succeed, because there's two, you know, you've got to start with why. What are you doing this for? And I am a very strong believer in that. And the reason that we as Sorgelson have undertaken this with such seriousness is because we are a large organization. We have more than 20,000 employees employed in this country. It's in our interests as a business, in order to see our business thrive, to make sure that the society and the economy thrive also. So we can't have this level of unemployment in South Africa, because then there's no market for our products and services to be sold.
That's true.
So we see it as sort of a very strategic part of our business strategy, to invest in making sure that we empower small businesses to employ people and create jobs, so that we can address this issue of unemployment. That's the only way we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And then secondly, to grow the middle class in South Africa, you know, to grow that. And the best way to do it is to help people to run sustainable businesses that, you know, is going to change. That's really effecting change.
Eve, I'm going to throw this one back to you.
Right, the money one.
Yeah.
We've invested, we're also a listed organization, and our results will be published during the course of next week, I believe. So I'm not really at liberty to sort of discuss the immediate, or rather to discuss the current spend. But certainly over a period of 5 years, we have probably invested about 20 million enterprise development. And so it you know, it's something that we take very seriously. And we really would, I think, very much like the tourism industry, well, certainly the hotel industry, we are reliant on customers traveling. So if we want our market to grow, we really need to have people that have the ability to be able to spend money on traveling, etc., etc. So I think that if from a very, very, we come from a very similar point of view in that regard.
We're caught in an
We both want to talk to you. Okay, a quick one, Candy, for 30 seconds. One success story that you've had?
Our recent Sorgelson Entrepreneur of the Year, Nomsa Mazibuko, she runs a guest house in Witbank.
Yes, we interviewed her after she won.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, when she started, she was at my induction just about 24 months ago now. She was running the guest house, definitely. But the phenomenal strides that this lady has taken to take she has literally taken her guest house as a result of being enrolled in this program and winning the Entrepreneur of the Year. Her occupancy is unheard of in the current state of the economy, where she runs at between 80 and 90% occupancy on average.
What?
All the time. Hmm. She's opened another guest house next door. So she's got Visit Vakasha 1 and Visit Vakasha 2 because there's such a demand for what she's selling.
Wow.
She's diversified into conferencing and events. And she has gone all out, and she's actually an inspirational speaker. And she goes and she speaks to other entrepreneurs to inspire them and share her journey and her story with them.
So people that want more information, where can they get hold of it?
They can look at our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. It's Sogo Entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
They can email us on sogo.entrepreneurs.com.
Okay.
Or they can visit sogosun.com. Mm. Or they can speak to me on Twitter. At Candy Tothill.
Okay. Ma'am, people that want to get hold of you guys?
Right. Well, through our web page, so kami.co.za, and obviously through other, also through myself, eve.liebetrau@kami.co.za.
No, definitely. This is all that we had for you today, right here on 360 Biz. Words of closing?
Thank you for the amazing work you're doing. It's shaping and changing our country. The real heroes are sitting in this room. Thank you.
No, definitely.
Thank you.
And my word of closing to entrepreneurs out there, you'll never know what is out there until you go out there and knock, knock, and knock. Catch us again next time right here on 360 Biz. Cliff Central, same time, same place. We're out. CliffCentral.com.